I think a lot of us are still sort of decompressing from what happened the day before yesterday on Capitol Hill with the Trump supporters storming in there. Five people have now died as a result of that incident. And, you know, we're still seeing all these pictures and memes of, like, the dude with the buffalo head on with the spear and these crazy flags and, like, this anger. And I think a lot of us, I know me for sure, are trying to process, like, what the heck? How did this is so crazy. I don't even know how this came to be. What is going on in America and even here? Because there were, you know, protests here and in Toronto and all over the place and stuff. So to kind of help us unpack this, we reached out to a psychologist from the University of Yale in the States. His name is James Kimmel, and he does a ton of research on anger and the need for revenge, which he sort of thinks is a huge player in this need for people to act out in ways like we saw earlier this week. And he joins us on the phone this morning. James, thanks so much for being here. So looking back this week at what happened on Capitol Hill there, like let's just start with that. What happened?
Yeah. What happened is that, you know, folks experience grievances of all sorts. You know, every one of your listeners at some point in their lives has experienced a sense of injustice or unfairness. And this triggers, now we know, in the brain a process that leads to a kind of a craving to retaliate or inflict suffering upon the person who did the wrong to you or caused you pain. And that process is operating in the same part of the brain that substance addiction operates. So you're looking kind of to self-medicate, right? You feel the pain of the injustice or what this person did to you, the wrong, and you're looking to feel better. But instead of using, you know, a drug like, alcohol or heroin, you're using the infliction of suffering upon another person. The drug is retaliation.
Wow.
And this does make you feel better for a moment, but it leaves you much worse off at the end.
So you're saying that, like, from a science perspective, when you look at the brain, you know, in documentaries about Wall Street and stuff, they show that people who, like, earn a lot of money, it does the same thing to the brain as, like, doing a bump of cocaine. Have you ever heard that before?
Sure.
Yeah, that you're basically saying that this is kind of the same. Like, seeking revenge on someone gives you the same satisfaction as using an illicit drug.
That's exactly what it seems to be.
Wow.
In brain scans, but also even more importantly is behaviorally. I think we all experience this from time to time. When you're plotting and you finally zing the other person, whether it's through a tweet or a punch or worse, as we saw on Capitol Hill, you're feeling a high at that moment. That's what you're looking for, and that's what's motivating most violent crimes, including, you know, what we're seeing in the United States.
Now, when this happens, is there a way for people like Scooter and I that have no background in how the brain works to approach a situation and calm it down, like simmer it down to make it so that nothing crazy like what happened the other day?
You would never approach a person who, like, if we see someone who's drunk or someone who's on drugs, it's just like, whoa, stay away. But in a situation like this, you want to help. So what can you do?
Yeah, we've been working on that. So, you know, there are no 12-step programs for revenge addicts, but there need to be. And that's one of the things we've developed at Yale is a process called the non-justice system. And you can kind of experience it right now very quickly. If you thought of somebody, if you could think of somebody that has harmed you and you're carrying a really, you know, heavy grievance toward right now, and you imagine, you know, kind of putting them on trial in your own mind right now, but you play all the roles. You charge them with a crime because you're the prosecutor, and then you imagine, you know, now testifying against them and what you would say that they did to you and how it harmed you. Then imagine being them and what they would say in their own defense. And then imagine, you know, convicting them as the jury and then sentencing them to punishment as the judge and then administering that sentence. At that point, as you're punishing the person for what they did to you after this imaginary trial that can be very real, and that's the process we use, you're experiencing that high, but you're experiencing it safely. It's like, think about, you know, methadone for a revenge addict. It's a safer high. But then in the last step, imagine now thinking about, you've done all of this. Did it actually free you from the pain of what you went through? or did it just give you a temporary high? And what people inevitably find is that even when they've inflicted revenge, they still haven't moved on and been able to move on. They need to do one thing more, and that is imagine now what it would feel like if you kind of forgave that person. Hmm. Just imagine it. You don't have to forgive them, but if you did forgive, how would you feel? And most people conclude that they feel this weight suddenly lift off of them because they realize they don't have to spend their life plotting revenge or hating on the person. They can move on and take control of the pain themselves, take it away from the person who hurt them, and move on with their life peacefully.
Yeah, one of the things that I heard you say that I just loved is that we see looking to someone that's wronged us, forgiving them as us giving a gift to them, when in reality we're giving a gift to ourselves.
That is so true. Forgiveness is, and that's the, it's unfortunate, but the popular conception of forgiveness, I think because of the word give is in there, is that as if you're giving the person who hurt you a gift by letting them off the hook. That's not at all what's occurring. When you forgive that person, you're giving the gift to yourself. You're relieving yourself of the burden of having to punish them, remember the pain, and carry it with you the rest of your life. It's really an act of self-healing, and it's the indispensable act of doing that.
We're joined by James Kimmel. He was on with us a little earlier this morning, still hanging out and helping us kind of unpack everything that happened in the States. He's a revenge expert from Yale University. It's a pretty big deal.
Very big deal.
From what I've heard.
I was nervous.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a smart guy.
And he's a very smart guy, and he's an expert in revenge and addiction and just like anger and revenge issues, and he's kind of trying to help us unpack everything that went down south of the border earlier this week.
So, James, you created SavingCain.org, which is the first website aimed at saving lives by providing support and resources to help potential murderers and mass shooters overcome the desire to kill, which, first of all, blew my mind in itself because I had no idea there were resources for people who thought like this. And I think it's absolutely amazing. Now, how do you help someone in this position? Like, can you even get a person to a point where they don't have that desire anymore?
Yeah, they can. What's inside them, right, is this grievance. What we know from, and what the FBI, you know, in the U.S. here, the FBI, the Secret Service, CDC, and other organizations have now concluded that, you know, the commonality among mass shooters and all pretty much every form of interpersonal violence, including domestic violence, intimate partner violence, school violence, the common denominator, most people think of, is a gun, and that's true physically, but the other common denominator is a grievance and nurturing that grievance and retaliating for it. That's mm-hmm. the motivation. So you have gun plus motivation equals killing. SavingCain.org, that website, I'm so glad you brought that up because that's based on, there are many suicide prevention websites. But after one of the big mass shootings we had here in the United States in 2015, I woke up in the middle of the night and I went, are there any resources for people who are planning or thinking about or mulling over the idea of killing other people? And it turned out there weren't. So created that website to provide the resources, including the one that I just sort of discussed, this non-justice system, this process of putting the person who wronged you on trial and freeing yourself of that desire to kill.
So these people who do this, who like storm in there, and I think a lot of people sort of get caught up in this mob mentality or just down there and like the energy, and then that sort of triggers this revenge desire like you're talking about. But then you get in to Capitol Hill, like what do you think they think they're actually going to accomplish? Or does that even factor in? Because it just, the rest of us look at this and we're like, this is so crazy. Like, why are you even doing it?
You know, if you look at the videos and photographs of the people who finally got inside and all the way right to the Senate and onto the dais and into the chair, and if you look at the faces of the folks who got there, they're all just filled with this sort of euphoria. I mean, they're smiling, they're enjoying this because this is their moment, right, of of getting retaliation, and they're feeling what I'm trying to explain. They're feeling this hedonic pleasure.
It's like a high.
You know, coming. It's like a high. It's coming. That's the drug, and they're getting that high at that moment. And it's probably going to be something they'll remember, you know, for the rest of their lives as sort of this high, even though everything after that is going to be, the, you know, the crash that every addict feels, which is, you know, you take the drug, and now you're going to experience horrific consequences also for the rest of your life in exchange for that one quick moment, that one little burst. But we also need to be aware, as we're watching this and feeling aggrieved by what we've seen, that we're going to now experience the same process, and it's each individual's responsibility to get control of your own desire to retaliate and not jump online and start retaliating against people or nurturing your own grievance. We're all part of the same process. The people who were in the Capitol and the people who are now watching it are at risk of going through the same process they just watched.
You're saying, James, too, that don't think that because you're doing it online and you're not down there actually throwing bricks, that you're not also part of this same system.
That's correct. And don't think that it just because you're not a Trump supporter, that when you retaliate, you're not engaged in the same behavior as a Trump supporter, or vice versa, whatever your particular political perspective is. If you are nurturing a grievance and you are retaliating and making yourself feel better, you're engaged in the exact process you're accusing other people of being engaged in, and you need to be aware of that.
Wow. So huge. Yeah. Thank you so, so much for taking the time. Extremely enlightening.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thanks for the opportunity to share this information.
Yeah, okay. Have a great morning.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Pulse Mornings with Leslie and Scooter.